chapter 4, entitled Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe. Text 1 and 2. Text 2 is on the board. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Bhama Uvacha. Tate me dulabha pungsam. Tate me dulabha pungsam. Yam brinishi varam mama. Yam brinishi varam mama. Tathapi vittaramyanga. Tathapi vittaramyanga. Varanyadya pidulavan. Varanyadya pidulavan. Shibhama uvacha. Tathemi dulavapungsam. Yam vrinishi varan mama. Tathapi vittaram yanga. Maranyada pidulavam. Shivamo vacha. Tatemi dulabha pungsam. Yam vrinishi varan mama. Tathapi vittaram Jam Yanga Varanyadya Pidulaman Shibhamu Vacha Tateme Dula Vapunsam Yam Brineshi Varan Mama Tathapi Vitya Jam Yanga Paranyadya Pidulabhanam. Shivamo Vacha. Tathemi Dulabha Pungsam. Yam Vinishi Varan Mama. Abhivityam. Sivam Uvacha. Lord Brahma said, Tata, O dear son, Imi, all these, Dulabaha, very rarely obtained, Pungsam, by men, Yan, those which, Vinishe, you ask, Varan, benedictions, Mama, from me, Tatapi, still, Vitarami, I shall deliver. Anga, O Hiranyakashipu, Varan, the benedictions, Yadyapi, although Dulabhan, generally not available. Translation, Lord Brahma said, O Hiranyakashipu, these benedictions for which you have asked are difficult to obtain for most men. Nonetheless, O my son, I shall grant you them, although they are generally not available. Please repeat. Lord Brahma said, O Hiranyakashipu, these benedictions for which you have asked are difficult to obtain for most men. Nonetheless, O my son, I shall grant you them, although they are generally not available. Material benedictions are not always exactly worthy of being called benedictions. If one possesses more and more, a benediction itself may become a curse. For just as achieving material opulence in this material world requires great strength and endeavor, maintaining it also requires great endeavor. Lord Brahma informed Hiranyakashipu that although he was ready to offer him whatever he had asked, the result of the benediction would be very difficult for Hiranyakashipu to maintain. Nonetheless, since Brahma had promised, he wanted to grant all the benedictions asked. The words Dulabhan indicates that one should not take benedictions one cannot enjoy peacefully. I read the summary. This is the beginning of chapter 4. Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. This chapter fully describes how Hiranyakashipu obtained power from Lord Brahma and misused it by harassing all the living entities within the universe. By severe austerities, Hiranyakashipu satisfied Lord Brahma and obtained the benedictions he desired. After he received these benedictions, his body, which had been almost entirely consumed, was revived with full beauty and a luster like gold. Nonetheless, he continued to be envious of Lord Vishnu, unable to forget Lord Vishnu's having killed his brother. Hiranyakashipu conquered everyone in the 10 directions and the 3 worlds and brought all living entities, both demigods and asuras, under his control. Becoming the master of all places, including the residents of India, whom he had driven out, he began enjoying life in great luxury and thus became mad. All the demigods but Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva came under his control and began serving him. But despite all his material power, he was dissatisfied because he was always puffed up, proud of transgressing the Vedic regulations. All the Brahmanas were dissatisfied with him, and they cursed him with determination. Eventually, all the living entities within the universes, represented by the demigods and sages, prayed to the Supreme Lord for relief from Hiranyakashipu's rule. Lord Vishnu informed the demigods that they and the other living entities would be saved from the fearful conditions created by Hiranyakashipu. Since Hiranyakashipu was the oppressor of all the demigods, the followers of the Vedas, the cows, the brahmanas, and the religious saintly persons, and since he was envious of the Supreme Lord, he would naturally be killed very soon. Hiranyakashipu's last exploit was to be would be to torment his own son Prahlad, who was a Mahabhagavata, an exalted Vaishnava. Then his life would end. When the demigods were thus reassured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everyone was satisfied, knowing that the miseries inflicted upon them by Hiranyakashipu would come to an end. Finally, Narada Muni describes the characteristics of Prahlad Maharaj, the son of Hiranyakashipu, and describes how his father envied his own qualified son. In this way, the chapter ends. Translation to text 1. Narada Muni continued, Lord Brahma was very much satisfied by Hiranyakashipu's austerities, which were difficult to perform. Therefore, when solicited for benedictions, he indeed granted them, although they were rarely to be achieved. Text 2. Lord Brahma said, O Hiranyakashipu, these benedictions for which you have asked are difficult to obtain for most men. Nonetheless, O my son, I shall grant them, although they are generally not available. We're hearing the story of the world's greatest dictator, Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was a demon, nasty man. We have seen even before he got his powers, he ordered his followers to harass the living entities, cut down the trees and burn the agricultural fields, burn their houses, cities, gates, bridges. All those engaged in Varnashram disturb them, give them. So what to speak when he has full power? I am the Lord, the Master. My enemies I have killed, in the future I will kill the rest. This is how the demons think. So everyone would be harassed, as we were reading this chapter. He had all the demigods, as they say, eating from his hands. All the big demigods he had as personal servants. He removed Indra from his very opulent palace in the Swargaloka, and he was ruling from there and enjoying so much, always intoxicated with wine. So his eyes were red and rolling, always doing exactly what he wanted to do. But this is the nature of the conditioned soul. Why we're in the material world, because we had a different idea or a different mentality of what goes on in the spiritual world. So here we're given the material world is a creation by Krishna to rectify this mentality. Fortress, Durga. So that those wanton, wayward living entities like us, you and I, are placed here to... This is Krishna's sense of humor. We have a desire that we will want to be free and we want to act independently. So this is Krishna's joke. Sense of humor, okay? You try, here's a material world, you go try. But it's an impossible dream, which we have, as we know, right? Even though we don't give up the dream, we know it's illusion, right? We know it's illusory to struggle to desire a nice niche in the world, to be comfortable in the future, and all our problems will be gone. Right? We all desire this, and we don't stop working for it, even though we know it's illusion. Because the physics of this material world is that because it's subject to time, it's all vanquished in the end. It's all taken away. So that's the, it's naturally everything is deteriorating. There may be some growth for some time, but overall in time it just deteriorates. Everything that exists that you can see now, you look around, won't be here in a few hundred years. It won't be here. Nothing won't be here. The building won't be here. We definitely won't be here. Trees won't be here. The buildings won't be here. It'll be something different. But so this is not actually satisfactory for us. It's difficult to maintain this. We build, you make a nice a comfort zone, and you go into it, but you work so damn hard to maintain it. You work strenuously to create it, then you have to work hard to maintain it. That is our experience. It's difficult. Maintenance is actually a very difficult position. That's why Vishnu takes charge of the maintenance. Destruction is easy, and the creation is a little more difficult, but the actual maintenance is difficult because you're fighting it. You're swimming upstream, because the physics of this world is deterioration. So you always have to keep, you clean your house every day, right? You don't clean it one day, there's all dust on the floor. Even you close the windows, the doors, you still got to, it comes in, it deteriorates. So that's the difficult part. So the Lord should probably mention here that Brahma, he said, I'll give you what you want, but it'd be difficult to maintain, because he knows what he wanted. He wanted everything. So the benedictions, material benedictions, Prabhupada said, not always exactly worthy of being called benedictions. Actually, Prabhupada's being very polite here, not exactly worthy of being called benedictions, because there's no such thing as a material benediction. Right? In the material world, the whole Brahmanda, as far as we know, this world is a place of suffering. Some happiness is there also. Happiness and suffering, distress. But overall, it's hard work. Overall, life is hard work. You see, people go work at morning and they come home in the evening. Most of the day is spent in working, just to maintain your little comfort zone and some happiness, some pleasure. That's all. But human life is not meant for working hard. Human life is not meant for work. I mean, life is not meant for working hard. The material world is meant for working hard. Like you go to the prison, if you're a severe prisoner, they give you hard labor. You have to work in the jail. You have to go and break rocks or as a daily routine or some other, build roads. but anyway, whatever they do, hard work all day, because so the material world is like that. We work hard, but the end is a little relaxation, a little sense gratification, and peaceful sleep. You sleep peacefully, and then you wake up in the morning and you start again. Go through the day, all that. Or so many obstacles we meet during the day, we have to resolve so many problems, right, to get what we want, to get that position we want. So difficult. Other people want it also, there's conflicts, there's fights. And then when you get it, you have to work hard to maintain it. It's always just, it starts to slip through your fingers. It starts to deteriorate. So you keep on painting, keep on, eating food. Every 6 hours you've got to keep on putting it in, non-stop. Right? Sometimes we fast. Difficult fasting, right? One day. We don't fast more than one day. In our line, we don't fast completely more than one day. tamagun. To inflict too much suffering on the body is considered tamagun. Hiranyakashipu was the acharya of tamagun austerities. He let the ants ate his body, the termites ate his flesh away. Can you imagine? He tolerated that. And he was prepared to do this austerity for lifetimes. He was a big thinker. I mean, so desperate was his desire to practically take Brahma's position that he was prepared to undergo suffering for lifetimes, whatever it took. Paid off. He got the he's got his benediction now. But he said they're very rare, generally not available. In other words, he never gave them before. No one else had any position like this before. They're generally not available because generally people can't maintain them, something like that. We call when someone gives you a white elephant, heard that saying? If someone gives you a white elephant, difficult to maintain. Right? We have elephants here, difficult. They have two servants each, the elephants, that he eats, how many, 200 kilos a day or whatever? What was it? And they have to bath them, right? They have this, they scrub them with a stone, right? Difficult. You've got to be a king to have an elephant. So giving something a burden that it can't. Actually, this came from the Thailand. The kings in the court, if they didn't like one of the ministers, they would give him a present. I'm very satisfied with your service here. Take this. They give him something, a white elephant, that he couldn't maintain it. So eventually, that person would be ruined. They can't actually afford to keep it. So what turns out to be a benediction sometimes is not actually a benediction. And we know Dhruva Raj, he got a fantastic, fantastic benediction. Right? To live on Dhruva Loka, all the planets are going around Dhruva Loka. You've seen the picture, haven't you? When they take the film and the Dhruva Loka is not moving. All the planets are going around Dhruva Loka. And it's very opulent there. And he could live for hundreds and thousands of years with full strength and no old age, no disease. But he said, alas, alas, why did I ask for this? I don't want it. Having seen the lotus feet, having seen the beautiful form of Lord Vishnu, then all his desires were completely evaporated, material desires. So then he said, when Vishnu asked, what do you want? I come to give you benediction. He said, I don't want anything. Then he said, I know what you want. It can't go in vain. You perform this worship to me. I have to give to you. Otherwise, they'll think, look, he worshipped Vishnu so nicely and he didn't get anything. This is what you want. I come to give to you. So he's lamenting, what a fool. What a fool I am. Now I'm stuck in this heavenly planet for millions of years, and oh my God. And of course, you can get the darshan of the Lords in different places also. But everything here is relative. So it's good, relatively speaking, there's good and bad here. But without the absolute reality, then actually nothing is good. When I perceive the absolute reality, Krishna, then everything else becomes insignificant. But unless you've seen Krishna, unless you've tasted Krishna, experienced Krishna, then these things are important. Our comfort and our happiness are very important. Paramount importance. That's what we live for. But when we actually realize the most important thing is our Krishna and our relationship with him and his devotees and our relationship with them, that relationship, that love is so great that it does, nothing can compare with it in the material world. And you don't need anything to experience this relationship. It is no material facility. You don't have to have special material facility or any kind of material situation in which to experience or practice your loving relationship with Krishna and his devotees. But that's free, and that's everyone's birthright. everyone has an equal right spiritually. Materially, no one has an equal right. Everyone is different, although they propound that. Equal rights and, you know, everyone the same opportunity. How can it happen? How can everyone have the same opportunity? We're all suffering from different karma. Not possible. Everyone is different. No one is exactly the same. There's no such thing as equal opportunity. You may present it like that. According to your karma, you're getting results, not according to your activity or the facility. Right? Two men doing exactly the same thing. Right? Doing business. One succeeds and one doesn't. It's not because the one who didn't succeed wasn't smart enough. He may have been more intelligent than the other person. You see, right? People come from nowhere and they come millionaires, and others came from, you know, top most educational institutes, and they go and they can't do anything. So it's not the facility, equal opportunity for everyone. That may be so. class, the society, etc. Doesn't actually. It's a dream. There's no such thing as equality in the material world. The only thing equal is that we can surrender to Krishna. We have the opportunity to revive our dormant or lost relationship with Krishna. That's equality there. Otherwise, everyone else is different. So here, Hiranyakasipu, it's an interesting story, this subject, and it's many, many chapters. It'll take you almost a year to go through this story. Bhagavatam, every day. You do one sloka a day, it's like 8 or 9 months or something. So it's an important story, because it epitomizes you got the unalloyed pure devotee, then you got the other extreme, you know, the real gross materialist, real tamo going materialist, powerful. So you can see that on the two, both sides here of which way we can go, because after all these stories of our example, our learning, and now we can choose our heroes from these stories. And we see that the devotees always win in the long run. They always come out successful on top. Who goes back to Godhead? They're the actual success stories. See, if he wasn't envious, he could have taken a position just like Lord Brahma. Brahma would have given him some fantastic position. He would have got his adoration, worship. But no, he wanted, I want to do it my way, I want it how I want it. And everyone hated him, eventually. Of course, he had his cohorts with him, his immediate surrounding. He was nasty to everyone. Then he goes to him in fear. He had him serving, personally serving him, sweeping his floor, bringing his wine, giving his spittoon, and, you know, the big demigods. And if he looked angry like that, then he got angry a lot. He was drunk. Wanted everything to go as he wanted it. Couldn't tolerate one slight thing wrong. So they was all nervous and fearful. They couldn't do the prescribed duty to Vishnu. They couldn't perform yajnas. The people worshiping they had to offer all the oblations meant for the demigods. Hiranyakashipu would accept them himself. But he was so powerful by dint of his austerity that he could actually maintain that position. He could do the job of Indra and Vayu, I mean, supply rain, without Indra and Vayu and others. He was that powerful. He didn't actually need the demigods. But of course, in the long run, there's a plan for the universe. There is a plan. I mentioned our rectification of the living entities. And there's a program to follow, for there's a secret how to live in this world, that you can become rectified and then go back to the spiritual world, where you don't have to again return to this material world. It's a puzzle. But the secret is there, and the secret is given, especially in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's only talking about that, how to establish one's loving relationship with Krishna. So that information is there. And then, as we got to deal with this body and other bodies and other stuff in the material world, then there are rules there to do it by. That's what the Vedas are mainly given. How to live in this world peacefully. How to fulfill your desires, because we all have desires. How to, you know, be satisfied in life, to as much as you can be satisfied. And eventually go back to Godhead in the Dharma. By performing Dharma, by performing these religious activities prescribed in the Vedas, what we call religion, religious activities, they, as a result of performing religious activities, Dharma, that's punya, from the result, then you get good reaction, good artha, you get facility in the material world. With that facility you can enjoy. If you're dharmic, then you get the main symptoms are of a human being. He's got a human being, good bodily features, good intelligence, and he's born into a very well-established family. So life is not such a struggle. He's born into a good situation. That's good karma, we say. So that comes from the piety. The dharma, artha, comes from dharma. So, however great a plan you make, if it's not in accord with the laws of Krishna and Vishnu, then it's not going to work. So eventually everyone's going to be suffering. There's going to be want. And the people are not going to be satisfied, because it will lead one more and more into the mode of rajas and tamas. And then it becomes animalistic. And in the end, all the people will revolt eventually. They're harassed too much. Because there won't be anything. Of course, Hiranyakashipu, he did get special, he's a special case. He got these benedictions from Brahma, so he's kind of fearless. But in normal events, he couldn't maintain like that for a long time, as we see. It's not possible. Everything in the whole Brahmanda is karma. Right? Practically, even you can say Lord Brahma is here for a purpose. At least the Brahmas that came from humans and worked their way up, they're here for a purpose, because they had a desire which was a little indifferent to the Lord's desire. Otherwise, why are they in the material world in the first place? So if you follow these rules, which is given in the scripture, then that will promote the mode of goodness. Therefore, longevity of life, healthier life, and free, less anxiety, less passion, less ignorance, more peaceful, knowledge clear. You know what the world is. You know what life is about. You know what the future is. So then you can be peaceful. But if you don't, if you go down to passion, then you come more down to the animal. You come down to ignorance. You're on the animal platform again, practically. And then it becomes the law of the jungle. So eventually it would have been like that. There was no yagas being performed. So then Bhumi was only producing out of fear of Hiranyakashipu. I mean, it was great at the particular time. I don't know how long he was running for. It was great. You didn't have to plow the land. You just throw the seed and the stuff comes. It was easy living, good living. But obviously it couldn't, it wasn't going to last because it wasn't the plan of the Lord. He reversed the laws of karma. He was that powerful. He had that much control over the David devatas that administer these laws. If you perform pious activities, you'll get a bad result. So who's going to perform pious activities? That's how powerful he was. Special case, not to be imitated. Prabhupada said there'll never be another Hiranyakashipu. So there's a definite program here. It's for the gradual upliftment of the living entity to come to the human form of life. Then, from the human form of life, then the extra intelligence is there. Then you can actually discriminate. You can ask these questions. Hey, what's going on here? Why am I suffering in this world? Why am I struggling so much? I don't want to struggle. The spirit soul doesn't struggle. Spirit soul is free. That's our natural constitution. We're free. It's unlimited freedom, practically speaking, in the spiritual world. Practically unlimited. Because you're above all these Siddhaloka and Tapaloka, where all these people have all these amazing abilities, all these siddhis. No, that's still in the material world. So you're above that. Just imagine the abilities that you have. We have a spiritual body. You're in a spiritual environment. Means Vaikuntha, no impediments, no force against you. So you're practically unlimited what you can do. Because the entrance fee to the spiritual world is love of Krishna, at least with affection, then you're going to follow his rule. Because if you didn't have that affection for him, then you would obviously start playing around with all his power and misuse it again. So that's a prerequisite. You've got to love the Lord. there has to be some bhakti there. So obedience, not just, at least obedience and reverence. At least that much has to be there. So you don't misuse that. So that's a check. That's a price to actually enter into the spiritual world again. So we're missing that. We're feeling that lacking. We're actually feeling that suppressed. That's why we're always trying to improve our situation. Why don't we just accept what is and carry on? You'll suffer. How long can you not eat for? It's suffer. How long can you not go to the bathroom for? You'll suffer. Automatically you're suffering, and so you're forced, whipped by the lashes of material energy. Adiyatmi kari devi kari bhoti. Hunger, thirst, lamentation, fear. All these things, heat, cold, you're forced, you're pushed. It's not a very suitable situation. But because we're born in this situation, they say, yeah, I'm so pessimistic. We have life has its good side, it has its down, because they don't know anything better. So therefore, oh, you're so pessimistic. But no, it's realistic, right? It's suffering. Get up in the morning, you're suffering. As soon as you wake up, you have a problem. Face it, about you. Then you go whole day. See, everyone's out whole day. Every nation in the world, they're out whole day working, education, whatever. So they come back in the evening. Sun's going down. Whole day doing what? Just for that little comfort and little happiness. That's all you get. A couple of hours in the evening. So everyone's doing it, and nobody knows any different. So when you, if they know a different situation, so that's our business. Like the devotees have kindly come and enlightened us. Hey, wake up, Jivjago, Nivjago. There's something other than this, you know, working hard all day and just to try to maintain something which, and enjoy something which in the end is going to be a great object. You're going to realize the body is a great object of suffering. You've been trying to enjoy it for so long. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, still trying, 80 years. What can you do 80, 90 years old? No power in the senses. Just a bag of trouble. Now it's just going to give you trouble. Right? That's all. So then you read, oh, it is a source of trouble. Hey, Krishna says it's a source of trouble from birth. It's always been a source of trouble. You've always had to feed it, wash it, clothe it. It's always been a problem. Because it was young and you're passionate, life is ahead of us, we don't. And everyone else is doing it, and there's no alternative. I mean, life's not so bad, right? So that's the situation. So one has to be awoken, and that is what the Krishna does through his devotees and his scripture, and himself personally when he also comes. So we hear that we can read the two the two parallels of this world, the gross materialist and the gross spiritualist, Prahlad, pure devotee, who's not interested in anything, not interested in maintaining himself, not interested in satisfying his senses. How is it possible? He has something better. He has something better. He has shelter of Krishna. So this is what we have to learn. Otherwise, it's a struggle. Struggle to find shelter and happiness in the material world is a struggle. Let's face it. We know that. We're trying. We've been trying and trying and trying. We joined the Hare Krishnas because we weren't successful, right? Maybe we can get it from Krishna. I can't then. We join for a more comfortable and happier way of life, right? Any other reason? We're also conditioned souls. We're fortunate. We're coming to Krishna for the same benedictions until we become pure devotees. So all these truths will be revealed, and especially in the most of the chapters about Prahlada, very, very deep knowledge, esoteric knowledges he were given for our enlightenment. So, okay, he's got it. He's successful materialist, the most successful materialist in existence. So Brahma says, okay, you got it, but I warn you, you've got to maintain it. It's no joke. You've got a hot tomato there. it's a big thing you got there. So, Hare Krishna, you wanted it. Here it is. Yeah. Sambhavatam ki. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions on this subject matter? One, two. Where am I?
Thank you, Brahma Jumbari. But as devotees, don't we have to work just as hard?
I'm not getting it.
Can you hear me?
Now, yeah.
Oh. As devotees, don't we have to work just as hard as the people you were talking about? We get up earlier and go to sleep later and work hard all day. Like, say your service is cow protection. Like, you have to feed the cows, you have to water the cows, you have to work the bulls.
You're working hard.
Yeah, you're working hard. What about pujari work? I mean, that's hard work.
Yes, that's the material world. What I said, that material life is not meant to... life is not meant for struggle. life is not meant for struggling hard. Spiritual world, they don't struggle. They're working all day. Krishna's out with the cows all day and his friends, but they're having, it's fun for them. It's not work. So material mode means work. You cannot stop. Prabhupada said we should actually work harder than the karmis. He said, because they're only working for money and we're working for Krishna, so we should work much harder than them. But work you have to do in the material world. You're forced. We're forced in the material world. So it's a hard struggle for existence. It is a hard struggle for existence. It is. But because we're born in that situation, we're born in a hard struggle for existence. Hard struggle for existence is normal way of life. Only because you don't know anything better, you're born in this situation. It's a hard struggle. Then you think hard struggle is normal. No, struggling is normal. So therefore you don't question it. But when When you hear there's a place where you don't, the struggle is not there, that struggle becomes happiness. Your work becomes happiness. Look at Krishna's friends, they have a good time when they go to the forest. They're working. They're taking, their job is to take the cows out and keep them fed and watered and safe. And they have a great time doing it in between. And the people in the village, they're preparing things, but they're remembering Krishna, they're happy doing it. But everyone's working there, but it's not like here, obviously, because there it's Vaikuntha. There's no, what's the translation? Anxiety, yeah. But there's another word. It's like no force, opposition. It's pressure. There's no, here there's always a pressure here, you see. There's always a force pushing us. That's not there in the spiritual world. We're motivated by being more comfortable because it's uncomfortable. We want a better situation because it's not the best. And we know it's not the best. So you've got the immediate things like eating, sleeping, defending to take care of those immediate things. But in the long-term things, we don't really notice so much, but there's always pressure. There's all that pressure there. You know, we got to eat breakfast, right? We're not. That's a pressure. In the spiritual world, that's not there. That opposition is not there. There's no opposition there. There's no force. That's Vaikuntha without that. So there's no anxiety. Because there's force, there's anxiety. If I don't do this, I'll suffer. But that's not there in the spiritual world. So you can't really say it's work. But in the material world, you've got to work. You've got to. Devotee or non-devotee. But at least we're working for Krishna. And at least it's our last workhorse. That's our compensation. Okay?
Yeah.
But you have to work. But only in the material world. Life is not meant for, real life is not meant for working hard. It's only in this Brahmanda, this ignorant part where people are working hard. Life is not meant for that.
Thank you, Guruji, for a wonderful class. Guruji, after hearing so much that this world is suffering and spiritual world is only our eternal happiness place, so even after coming in devotional circle, we try to give comforts to body and say enjoy prasad and all these activities. So why is this happening and how should we come out of this and focus only on core spiritual values?
Take more prasadam. How should we come out of the desire to still enjoy spiritual life? Well, you can't stop the desire to enjoy. By nature, we're Ananda. There's a nature, Satyadananda. It's our nature to enjoy. So you can't stop the desire to enjoy. But to try to enjoy the body in the senses, in the material, on the material sense, for my satisfaction, that's illusion. That will prolong the suffering, that will prolong your stay in the material world. Every time we try to enjoy something, I will explain this later on. Your happiness is the source of your distress. What we think is happiness, materially, that's the source of distress. Because we get something there, there's attachment, there's a reaction for our activity there, then we come back again. So it's actually a cause of distress, it's keeping us in the material world. It has some, you know, adrenaline is going, or you forget something, or, you know, you feel good for a little while, but then you've got all that endeavor to achieve that. We're going to come back to you as karma, and the taste for it. If you were successful, you got some happiness, then the attachment comes stronger, more difficult. So that's the problem. So though that's but you can enjoy the spiritual senses. There's no harm in enjoying what is connected in connection with Krishna, because we can't stop the enjoying propensity, and we're not here for Krishna's pleasure. Let's face it, only the only the pure unalloyed devotees here. They're working for Krishna's pleasure only. Sometimes we do it, Krishna Guru, we don't, sometimes we do it like that, but mostly it's not. It's not a motivation. That's not really why we, because we don't know Krishna. We don't love Krishna that, we don't love Krishna more than ourselves. Right, do we? Is that offense? You love Krishna, you love yourself or Krishna more? What's more important, Krishna's happiness or your happiness? I mean right in, here, on this level. When you act, are you acting for your happiness, the result, or are you acting for the as a result for Krishna? So that's what you're dealing with, we're conditioned souls. We were in Tilak and Kunti, but still we're regular conditioned souls, but we've, at least we've accepted that there is a reality apart from this material concept. And we're going to go for it. But our goal actually is not for Krishna's pleasure. At best, the wise man is doing out of duty, these pious people, at best. Chantaras. So that's where, but that will, by going to Krishna, he will purify. By taking Mahabharatam, that will purify. By chanting, that will purify. By associating with that will do the trick. So we just got to keep ourselves in the association of these, the spiritual elements which will purify us. Otherwise we don't have the ability or capability. We can think something, we can intellectualize, but as far as spiritualizing, we got that's got to be done from... So there, the conditioned souls. So naturally they're there, but they should get less. It's a gradual process. It's a direct process. It's liberation, the platform of liberation when you're serving Krishna. But the realization is, it comes later, the purification. You have to be tolerant, patient, and determined same time. So you gotta be convinced with the philosophy, then you'll be determined, you see. And then these qualities will come. Okay, anything else? Jai Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.